Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
We need to end the gridlock and to stop passing the buck to future generations.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
We, the individual voters, have to do something different. We have to hold those we elected accountable.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
All right, Bill Rock, you've got it right. It is that Friday, and it is Mayor Mike and John Gambling here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Welcome aboard.
Morning, John. I was interested in the promo. I've been promoted to special co-host.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know what? You do it long enough, and you know we got to move you up.
You know, you better be careful. If you and I can swap jobs. You can become mayor, and I can become host of the morning show.
Something tells me you don't want to do that, and I don't think I want to do that. So,
so we both stay where we are.
Exactly.
I don't know if the public will be happy, but that's another issue.
I'll leave you to the mayor stuff, and I'll keep the radio stuff going here as best I can.
You do a good job, I will say. I keep meeting people who say, I love listening to John Gambling. And I say, well, what about the mayor when he's on? Oh, yeah, he's okay, too.
Speaking of which, I see you're on TV. You've started some advertising for the next campaign. They're very well done. I mean, I think they're very effective.
Well, thank you very much. I think, you know, I'm going to run for mayor, obviously, and run on what we've accomplished in the last 7.5 years and what we want to do going forward. And I've always tried to only say things that I think we can, only promise things I think we can do, and I go back and take a look, and it's not me, it's the 300,000 people, in all fairness, that work for the city, and the 40-odd commissioners, and 7 deputy mayors, but they're the ones that have really made a difference in this city, and I think we can, if we had 4 more years, really continue the improvement in education, continue to bring down crime. Crime is down. You know, everybody says when the economy gets worse, crime has to go up, but crime's down another 17-odd percent, and murder rate's down like 25%. We could set another record this year in terms of low crime. So, you know, you can always do more.
Those are the kind of records you like. Those are the ones you like to break.
Well, you know, there's certain numbers that I hate to reduce everything to numbers, but life expectancy has gone up 15 months in the city in the last 7 years. It's now higher than the country as a whole. And if everybody in the city on average is living 15 months longer, we must be doing something right.
You must be doing something right, exactly. So, all right, let's reduce things to numbers again. As you say, we always seem to. The budget continues to worsen. You're talking the potential of layoffs upwards in the thousands.
Well, actually, our tax revenues are pretty much where we had projected. Now, keep in mind, that just means you're a good forecaster. We expect our tax revenues for 2010, which starts this July 1st, to be $5 billion less than they were in 2008. And we're in 2010, actually, we have some money rolled over from 2009. But the scary thing is that for 2011, we're not going to have anything rolled over, and we've got to get our house in order. We've saved a lot. We prepaid about $3 billion in expenses. We tried to provide the kind of services that are going to keep tourists coming here and businesses going. We started a whole bunch of programs to help small businesses because they're the ones that can employ the people who are getting laid off, and we just can't let people sit there without jobs and no hope. I don't know how much we can do, but we're going to try our darndest to do as much as we can. And small businesses, we've got to keep them in business, so we're trying to help them. At a breakfast the other day of some small business people, and you know they have problems in getting permits, so we're trying to speed up that process. They have problems in finding out how to do business with the city, and we're trying to help that. They sometimes have problems accessing capital, so there are these angel funds that will loan them some money. They have trouble in training their people. We have a program that if they put in some money, the city will put in a little money, and they can train their programs and keep the business going and those people employed. And so we're trying to do all those things, but what is clear is the budget that we laid out before assumes that we do certain things or get certain things. And so far, not because they haven't tried, but just because you can't do everything all at once, the state has not done yet all the things we need, we've asked them to do. And the same thing with the unions. You know, we've been negotiating with the unions. They've come up with some savings. But we, this year, will spend $10 billion on pensions and health benefits.
Yeah, in fact, the story in the Post earlier of the week was quite illuminating about the cost of pensions.
It's $10 billion. They talk about a lot of abuses. In all fairness, they're not. And we made these deals over many, many years. And we should honor those deals, but we can't continue to go at that pace. And so what we want to do is try to find a ways with the union's cooperation and Albany's cooperation, because we're going to need that, and the governor's trying the same thing for state employees with the Albany legislature. We've got to, for new people who we have yet to hire, just it has to be a different deal. We can't afford this 20 years and you're out. We can't afford a limited amount of copay. There is some, but not enough. And so if we can change those things, we can continue to honor and employ the people that we have today. And that's my first priority, provide services and then, take care of the workforce that's got us this far. But the workforce of tomorrow has got to be somewhat different. And the same thing is true with Albany. We've asked for some things. They haven't had time to come up with them yet. It's not that I think that they won't be cooperative. I think they will, actually. But if we don't get them, we have to start getting ready to, the only alternative is to cut back services. And when you have a relatively lean and mean organization like we do, and particularly after $3 billion in cuts, there's just not a lot of fat there. So it would mean a smaller workforce, and I want the agencies to start thinking about if they had to do it, and I hope it doesn't happen, but if they had to do it, where they would cut back and who we'd unfortunately not be able to employ. And you don't want to do that all of a sudden over the night. And, the press starts ginning this up and saying, oh, you're going to do this. I hope we don't do it. But to not face reality that if we have to balance our budget, and if we don't have enough on the revenue side, we're going to have to reduce the expense side even more, and that means fewer people, that would be, mismanagement if we didn't.
Are the lists in place? I mean,
No, I think not. We just sent a letter telling people, the agencies, to if they had to cut back, and we told them how much they would have to cut back. And all of that really only saves $350 million. We have a budget that's many, many times that. And so, you can always, if you had a disaster, it would be much worse. But tell them how much they'd have to cut back. And I want them to start talking to their senior people and working with their unions and seeing if there isn't a ways that they can, to have them find out what they would do if that's what they had to do.
You are prepared. Do you think that you are going to get the dollars and the things you've asked for from the state? What's the indication from New Albany?
They haven't taken up some of the things yet. So, and that's just because they've been focusing on their budget, and there's no reason to think that, until you get there, you never know. But I think they understand our problems. We'll probably have to, for example, the one thing that's disappointing, they've approved 50 new red light cameras, and we really want to be able to put a lot more red light cameras in. Red light cameras do two things. Most importantly, they stop the number of people that run red lights 40 or 50, 60%, and that saves lives, and that's the first thing. When nobody's watching, people jump the lights. When they know there's cameras there, they don't jump the lights, or fewer of them jump the lights. The other thing it does is it brings in revenue, because when they jump the lights, we find them. And hopefully that'll dissuade them from doing it again, but it also does give us revenue. So we counted a lot more than 50, and being able to raise the fines for doing it. And I think we can go back and talk to them again about that. But then there's a bunch of other things, 5-cent tax on these throwaway bags, which we'd like to get people to stop using. They're clogging our landfills, and they just take 1,000 years, or a long, long time. I don't know if it's 1,000 years, but a long time to disintegrate, and so it's terrible for the environment, but it would help us keep all of the people in our sanitation department working and give them a hand. So there's a lot of things like that. Sales tax, we still, in our program we do that we put out 3-4 months ago, we do call for an increase in sales tax, and we'll have to do that. So I think Albany will be there, but they've been tied up, and I don't think anybody should think that they're walking away from us. The one thing that they're not doing, of course, is the MTA.
I was going to bring that up. I mean, nothing's been done.
I don't know. It's nothing. In all fairness, the governor called in Ravitch, and who's a smart guy, and he came up with a plan. Shelley took the plan and changed it somewhat, but did come up with a plan, which he says his members will vote for and approve, and now it's up to the Senate. And, you know, in all fairness to Malcolm Smith, I think he's trying, but there are some people there that don't like a payroll tax, which is what they call it, a mobility tax, but that's what Ravitz suggested, and they don't like tolls and the bridges, which Ravitz suggested. And if they don't do that, John, we're in real trouble, because the 23% raise in fares that we that the MTA board has already approved is nowhere near enough. The MTA ridership is falling faster than anybody projected. Their real estate transaction tax revenue is down significantly. We have, in Ravitz's proposal, there's only a 1.5% raise for the TWU workers in the budget. If the they've gone to arbitration, if they were to get more than that, you could find after 23%. You'll get to the end of the year, and there won't be enough money. The MTA would have no choice but to either close or raise services, which are raise fees again, which they'd have to do.
Well, none of this provides
capital money to make the system better and safer and reduce our expenses down the road.
Mr. Mayor, I thought that their ridership was up.
Ridership with the economy has gone down.
Really, the people just aren't traveling into the city.
You know, I think it is a little bit fewer people working in the city, because if they get laid off, although a lot of them would still come in to look for jobs, but it's people, you know, who aren't spending the money. They don't bring the kids in to go to the park or go to the Broadway show, or they don't come in, you know, at night to have a dinner in the city, and that's fewer, and you can see it. And it was going down, and the latest report in the first quarter, it went down more than anybody projected. So, you know, we just have to have a reliable source of funds that subsidizes the MTA, even if it means some modest increase in fares, but also we have to have capital funds. And, you know, all of these things, they're not good in the sense that people, you know, any kind of tax or fee hurts economic activity in our city and makes it less attractive. But our municipal employees and the MTA's employees want to get paid. I don't blame them. They have the families to take care of.
Everybody wants that. Let me take a break, Mr. Mayor. Relax, take a cup of coffee, a sip or two, and we'll be right back with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. And, of course, if you've got a question for Michael Bloomberg.
Mayor Mike and John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on this Friday, 26 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mr. Mayor, before we move forward here, just a quick question. Red light cameras, what's the argument from Albany for not doing this on a much wider basis?
The silence that you hear from me is deafening.
Okay.
There is no answer then. It may not be fair. I think my recollection is there's one assembly person who may be in charge of a committee that has to approve it that doesn't like red light cameras. And he did say, I think I remember reading, he understood in these tough economic times that we had to do something, so he'd give us a little bit, but it's nowhere near enough. And you know, I don't, what they could do easily is pass a law that any city of a million or more can have unlimited red light cameras, and if the population's under a million, they can't. And that's the way they normally do something just for New York City, because we're the only city of that size. But, you know, the city should be in charge of, and I can't, there's no argument that makes any sense to me that we shouldn't be able, if we want to do it, put red light cameras up. It saves lives, and it saves lives of seniors. You know, John, as you and I get a little bit older, hearing, as you both know, and eyesight isn't quite as good as it used to be, and we don't move as fast. And, you know, crossing through a red light, you say, well, you know, people can get across the street. I just look at my mother. She's 100, and she doesn't walk as fast as she used to. Or myself, I don't hear as well as I used to, and, you know, there's no good argument against it that I know.
No, I can't think of one either. In fact,
it seems
counterintuitive.
Right, and it's something the city should be in charge of. I mean, all of these things where Albany has a say come out of the 1970s when they bailed out the city because the city was totally irresponsible and spent money they didn't have and got himself into big trouble and then walked away from taking care of the city. And so the state, as part of the deal to bail us out, took over a lot of this stuff. But it should be the citizens of New York, through their elected officials, city council, mayor, controller, public advocate, should be able to be in control of whether or not they have red light cameras, for goodness sakes.
New York Times article this morning, real estate, the slowdown that the country has been suffering from, they claim just sort of starting to hit New York. Do you buy that?
Well, the numbers are the numbers. It's hard to argue against it. I think New York is a little bit different in that we don't have a lot of second homes. The number of people from Europe that have pied-à-terres here is really very small. We don't have a lot of houses built on spec or apartment buildings. There are some new ones coming online, built as co-ops or as rental units, and they're going to have a tough time at the moment. But it is small compared to, you know, places like Miami or southeast California. They have enormous problems with overbuilding. We don't have that. We have some. And you know, in the markets, when people can't get mortgages, the number of transactions go down, and those that do take place at lower prices. I was listening on the news earlier this morning. WR had a story that Larry Summers was saying that he thinks that we're at the bottom or near the bottom. And what I can see, I don't know any, he's a very smart guy, I hope he's right. What I do see is that when you talk to people, a few more people are coming into stores, the banks are making a few more mortgage loans, and I think that we're not going to have a very big decline in real estate prices, but there are clearly a lot fewer transactions, and that hurts the city because we tax transactions. And if you remember a couple of years ago, everybody criticized the MTA when all of a sudden they had an extra, I think it was $300 million that they hadn't counted on, and everybody called them bozos. The truth of the matter is nobody expected that, and the city had the same windfall, and the state had the same windfall. There was this one big owner of property, Sam Zell. He sold 30, 40 buildings to a private equity fund, Blackstone. And Blackstone then resold them. And each of those transactions, we got a big tax revenue, and the MTA gets part of that revenue as well. And that's where that came from. Today, the MTA's revenue from real estate transactions, they just had to lower their estimate by another $100-odd million. And that makes their problems even worse. But that's the real world.
You're going to be at opening day this coming week at both of the new stadiums?
You can rest assured, unless there's some, you know, something that is, God forbid, worse than, you know, or bad. I plan to be at both days and enjoying myself. Hopefully there'll be two winning performances and the start of a good year. The Yankees won yesterday, Mets didn't. But, you know, it's the beginning of the season, and I hope this will be a great year for both teams, and it'd be wonderful with two new stadiums and two exciting teams to have a seven-game Subway World Series won by New York.
Yeah, it's like everything at the start of a new baseball season, another wish that is a long
shot. Hope springs eternal.
Absolutely. All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. Let me take our half-hour break right here. 8:32 is my time.
3-2-1-0-7-10.
All right, we continue 20 minutes now before 9 o'clock, 8:40. Mayor Michael Bloomberg with me. Mr. Mayor, we talked this morning and yesterday about the situation in the city council with the questions from the UFT. Your reaction to this and what it says?
Well, I think it's very naive to think that anybody that is lobbying wouldn't try to suggest to the elected officials things that if they asked would enhance their cause. I thought this was probably a little bit over the top and maybe should have been disclosed. I don't think it's illegal. It just doesn't pass the smell
test. Does it say more about the UFT or the city council?
I don't think it's worth it makes any sense to throw any stones. What we need to do is to look at the real issue here, and the real issue is that charter schools aren't the panacea for everything, but they have themselves provided a great education for a lot of kids, and there's 30 or 40,000 kids who want to go to charter schools, and there aren't enough charter schools, so we should have lots more of them. And at the same time, charter schools have helped the other public schools. Remember, charter schools are public schools. That's something that, you know, some advocates, some people who don't like the charter schools don't try to hide. For charter schools or public schools, they just operate under a different set of rules for the people that work there. But the fact that they exist, not only do they provide good education, they provide real competition for the vast bulk of other public schools which aren't charters, and that's good for everybody. And giving parents choice and having competition is exactly what we need if we're going to focus on what's right for the kids. If you want to focus on what's easier for people that work in the system, no, you don't want accountability, and you don't want to raise standards, and you don't want to do any of that stuff. I understand that. That's nothing wrong with people advocating that. That's not good for our kids. We, the rest of us, should stand up and say we're not going to take it anymore, and we're going to insist that there are more charter schools. And the Albany legislature, which we were talking about before, did in fairness open up more charter schools. We're going to have 100 charter schools by this September. It's nowhere near enough to meet demand, which tells you something, but that's good. What we have to do is focus on renewing mayoral control and keep going with what the President of the United States has said is the policies that make sense, what the Secretary of Education of the United States has said makes some sense, we have become the poster child, John, for how to improve the school system. And it would be a tragedy if we went back. And none of the things that we implemented to get these great results would have been done if we went back to the old structure where nobody was accountable. When you have an independent board that invariably gets rolled right away, and they're not willing to run the risks and try new things, which you have to do. And this is a binary thing. You can't have partial control. There is either control or not control. There's either accountability or not accountability. And the number of kids graduating and going on to college and taking PSATs and improving their math and English scores, you go down the list. I saw one columnist, op-ed guy, obviously has his own agenda, said, oh, no, it's not really improvement. You just go tell parents that it's not improvement.
How many people demonstrated in Harlem last week in favor of charter schools?
You know, Harlem's a good example. District 5 has gone in 7 years, from one of the worst performing school districts in the city to one of the best performing school districts in the city. You tell the people of Harlem, their schools are dramatically better. And you know, John, when the schools get better, everything gets better. Crime goes down, the streets are cleaner, people want to live there, they have more smiles on their faces. I mean, we're in this together, and everybody wants better for our kids and better for themselves and better for their grandchildren and better for their parents. And education's a big part of that.
All right, we've got a bunch of folks that want to ask questions, so I have a limited amount of time here. Let me jump through a couple of things. I understand that there is a building over at the Brooklyn Navy Yard that looks like an airplane.
Well,
it's got propellers.
It does have five or six wind generating turbines, and it has a big solar panel. You know, in New York, solar is great and wind is great, but we don't have dependable sun or dependable winds. So if you put both of them with a battery to cover when you'd have no wind and no sun, what they've done is they've all of the hallways and the public areas in this building are being lit with energy from that God has given us, and that doesn't cost anything. And the Brooklyn Navy Yard is one of the great success stories. We were over there, and they keep building and building, and the number of jobs coming to Brooklyn Navy Yard is really quite substantial. At one point, the Brooklyn Navy Yard employed 75,000 New Yorkers, or people, most from New York, I assume. Can't get back to that, but these businesses are creating jobs and adding to our tax base, and there's a big environmental push over in the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
There was an article about you and the Speaker of the City Council, Christine Quinn. A lot is being made about the census that is coming up next year, and that you are advocating that gay couples be classified as married for, if nothing else, the census this year. Why?
Well, if you there are three or four states now that allow same-sex marriages, no matter whether you like same-sex marriages or not, and the Albany legislature is the one that's got to decide. I happen to think the government shouldn't be in the business of telling who can marry who, but the appropriate place for having the discussion is in Albany, where they've got to either maintain the law or change the law. But the fact of the matter is, separate from that, there are three or four states that allow it, and we recognize those, what other states do, and we ask them to recognize what we do. And if they are married legally in another state, they should be classified as married. The real issue here is we're just trying to get the numbers. Some people say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to find out how many undocumented there are here. I don't know whether a lot or a little. There are estimates, but find out. Then you can make intelligent decisions on what to do. Same thing with the same-sex couples that are married. All we're doing is all this is for is to get the facts, whatever they are. And the definition of marriage that we use in this state is we recognize you get married in this state or you get married elsewhere. And if you get married elsewhere, we recognize that. And whatever the laws are in other states doesn't necessarily mean we have to change our laws, but we should recognize their laws.
The state announced, and we just had a story in the last newscast at 8 o'clock, that Nassau County is going to be cutting back beaches being lifeguarded and pool hours and things of that nature. State beaches, the same thing's going to happen. How about New York City and the Parks Department?
I think we will keep the beaches open. I think we will have enough lifeguards. And, you know, we're going to work very hard to make sure that we maintain the essential services, and having something for kids to do in the summer is certainly an essential service. Kids who don't have anything to do, you know, those are the kids that get into trouble, and the pools are great. We've invested a lot of money in them, and I think we'll be able to keep them open. I'd love to have money to build a lot more new ones, but that we probably can't do at the moment. But we will continue to keep the pools open and hopefully be able to maintain the same hours. But, you know, we're getting to the point where if you want a job for the summer, being a city lifeguard's great. Call 311.
You got your floating pool back again?
Floating pool will be back again. It puts a pool in, I guess, Beretta Park. It's coming back to that neighborhood this year. It's going to move from neighborhood to neighborhood, but I think I'm pretty sure it goes back to the same place this year. And it's great for a place where we don't have the land or the money, in this case probably both, to build an in-ground pool.
Speaking of one more question before we take a break and then come back with the questions on the telephone. Speaking of the beaches, what's the deal with Coney Island? What's going on there?
We are making progress. So far, we do not have a deal. I think it's Thor Equities that owns some of the property. We want to keep an amusement park there. There's somebody that owns some of the land, and they want to build, I think, mostly apartment buildings, maybe some stores. We need more apartments in the city. We need stores in the city. We also need things to keep tourists coming here. And it's not unfair to say Coney Island, which was an enormous attraction for people throughout the whole East Coast and some maybe around the world, certainly people know about Coney Island around the world, has fallen on hard times, and we're trying to bring it back. We have limited resources to do so, but we will use our resources, hopefully strike a deal, and keep Dreamland there. Astroland's gone. Now we have Dreamlander. Maybe it's reverse.
All right, Mr. Mayor, coming back in just a moment with our questions from our listeners, 800-321-0710. You will be next. Is yours, Mr. Mayor. We've got a bunch of folks. Let's start with Barry out in Woodside, Queens. Barry, you've got the mayor. Go.
Hi, Mayor.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. I got a couple of ideas to save some money. One is you have many, many levels of management in the departments, which really don't directly help anybody. I think some efficiency changes could, by eliminating many of those levels.
You know, we've eliminated a lot of levels, but you have to have management. And when the times get tough, management's more important, not less important, because you have to constantly innovate and find new ways to do more with less. You have to make sure that everybody's working as hard as they can and as efficiently as they can. So, you know, I mean, my experience has always been the managements can really add a lot. And you're right that we have to make sure that the managers we have are doing a good job and that they're setting examples and that they're working. But, you know, my experience, what I've seen, and I've worked in the private sector, I've worked in the public sector, we have 300,000 employees. They work very hard and they're well managed. And I will, you know, defend the reason our crime keeps coming down is that we have the greatest cops in the world. They're as well trained by management as you possibly can. They're as well supported by management as could possibly be. And the management of the police department is just one example, but starting at the top all the way down. Now, where we have had too much management is in education. And we had all of these, the one building over in Brooklyn, 110 Livingston Street, was just filled with managers. We've replaced most of them and moved that money into the classroom. But we've empowered other managers today. The principals run the schools. And in the past, that was not done. And that's really why one of the reasons the schools are better, the management of the police departments, why the crime keeps coming down. So, you know, we don't want to waste any money. You're right there. And if we had managers that didn't work, you'd be right. If we had extra levels, you'd be right. But I think pretty much throughout the city, whether you're management or you're supervised by management, the people that work for the city are pretty good. Thank you for your call.
All right, we go to Frank in Yonkers. Frank, your question for the mayor.
Hi, Mayor. I have two comments regarding possibly generating income for the city. First one is a business one. I would propose anyone who starts a new business or brings business to New York City with employees of in excess of 50, that company not pay any city tax for a period of 5 years, and they get two all-access parking passes to park in the city, you know, for the principals of the company, except for handicap parking spots. They wouldn't be able to go there.
Well, and the way Frank, do you have a question? Because I got a time problem here.
Well, yeah, what is he going to do? Mayor, what are you going to do about these police, firemen, and all these civil servants that seem to fall off a chair and retire these exorbitant pensions? I mean, if somebody wants to retire early, I think they should not be able to show a W-2.
Okay, get an answer.
Let me just say, because we're running out of time. No, number one, we made a deal. The city made a deal starting back, I think it was in Lindsay's day, for some of the uniformed services to be able to retire after 20 years and whatever. And with the people that we currently have today, I think we should honor that deal. We legally probably even have to, but I think we should from a moral point of view. I agree with you. I don't think we can afford that going forward. It is also fair to say, incidentally, that some of these pensions, they sound like they're enormous, but they, if you are a fire and you're after, I think it's after 20 years, you can create your own 401k as part of your pension. So they're putting their own money in. And so some of these things where you sound like the pensions are exorbitant, some are, but a lot of them are real legit. And it's just the system, and it's not overpaying. Having said that, you couldn't be more right. We cannot afford to continue to do what we're doing. And in terms of giving new companies tax breaks, we can either spend the money to improve the schools, reduce crime, clean the streets, improve the parks, culturals, and attract businesses that way. Or what some other places do is they do give tax breaks to companies that come here. I happen to think the way we're doing it makes more sense, but there are a lot of people that agree with you. And, you know, we do have programs to attract people to start businesses here. We should open our borders and bring anybody from around the world that wants to start a new business to New York. That would be the biggest godsend in the world for us.
All right,
anyways, thanks for the question.
All right, Jimmy, your question. Just the question, please.
Mr. Mayor, if I live and work in Westchester, why should I have to pay a payroll tax to support the MTA?
Mayor, you've got a minute.
If you get MTA service, somebody's got to pay. And nobody's suggesting if you live in an area where there's no MTA service, but the Westchester County does get service, Suffolk and Nassau do get service, and then the five counties that make up New York City get service. And we just have to make a fundamental decision. Do you have mass transit paid for only by the people that use it, or do you spread the cost over other people? Once you say you're going to spread the cost over other people, then you either do it out of general revenues at the state level, or you do it out of city revenues, or county revenues, or you do it through a payroll tax. But we've made that decision that we're going to split the cost, because otherwise you make it so expensive, people will drive their cars rather than take mass transit, and that's not good for anybody. But, you know, I think you do get something for your taxes, incidentally.
And, of course, the payroll tax also spreads it across the state borders as well.
Yes.
And so you accomplish that, spreading the pain, if so to speak. Mr. Mayor, as you can tell by the music behind us, we are out of time. We'll gather up here next Friday, all right?
Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Mayor Michael Bloomberg right here with me, John Gamble.